Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 you rocking Four Quarters of Coast Lee. I said you are rocking Four Quarters of Coast Lee. I am your host with the most. Yes, I am Coach Lee. That is me. And I am live. I am L-I-V-E live. Okay. You're telling us to fill out the form and have tactic around the show. You guys. All right. All right. Yes, you are live. I am sorry about that. That's just to show you how live I am. I am at work. And like I said, for those who do know and don't know, I am the coach of the Las Vegas Showgirls, but I also run the sports department here at the Clark County Parks and Rec, and my hours have changed. So you just heard some live stuff in the background, you know what I'm saying, live in the background because I'm always needed, but I'm trying to shut it down, stay kind of quiet and hide back here in my office and everything. But, yeah, I definitely want to get back to this show live. You know, I was doing some pre-records, and it was some great things, and I had people that was calling in or who wanted to call me, and they just couldn't answer. I couldn't answer any questions. So I said this week I will do it live. I will do it live. You just got to bear with me. You got to bear with me sometimes. And, you know, we do it. We do what we do because you're rocking Four Quarters of Coast Lee. But you know what? I'm going to start the show off a little bit different. You know, there was some sad news in the football world here as far as I'm concerned. We had a death in the football family. My man Icky Woods lost his son this week, this past week. And, you know, I just want to give some respect, due respect, and give about 60 seconds of silence just to be in line with, you know, with Mr. Woods and those who are in the football world to just, you know, be thankful, oh, you know, we're here and things of that nature. So let's do what we do and take a 60-second moment of silence. All right, I'm back. Yeah, you can get that information. Like I said, we had a little sadness that just took place with a story of a great football player who died from an asthma attack and some other things that took place. And like I said, you know, you can go over to the Ning Board, that's Women's Tackle Football Group.ning.com. I think I have a a copy of the article itself on the Ning board, as well as another post was on the Ning board, sending out condolences to the Woods family. So, again, for those who didn't know, my man, Coach Icky Woods' son, had passed away last Thursday, and big ups to Icky, and, you know, whatever needs to be done, we need to all pitch in and help out and do what we do. All right. Let me get back going here, going back to what we got to get done. You know, we do four quarters here with Coach Lee, and we always start this off like we always do. We got to let our sponsors know what's up. You know what I'm saying? We got Rogers Athletic Company. It is the official football athletic company of the Women's Football Camping Conference, as well as the Las Vegas Showgirls and other member football teams that are out there. If you check out, you know, the different commercials and stuff, especially on the NFL channel, you'll see Rogers equipment being used at every NFL situation. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I haven't forgotten about the slogan. The slogan is, you know, where the good get better. You know I got to throw that out there. Come on, BJ. You know that was coming. You just got to be patient. You know, I haven't been live in about, what, six weeks? You know, I haven't done a show live in about 6 weeks. So I got to get back to my, you know what I'm saying? That music be just bumping in my head, getting it going. Who else we got? We got Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all rocking Adidas. I got another call in the break. Yes, ma'am. Got questions for me? Ah, okay. Tell her, can you write them down and give them to me and I answer them for her? I love you. Please. All right, sorry about that. Again, you see, right when I get to rocking and rolling, folks just want to just, you know, make it happen. We just want to make it happen, and as I get on the show, people want me to make it happen. But, yes, the camping conference is January 6th through the 9th, 2011, here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Again, it's where the good get better. Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we all should be rocking Adidas, and also Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because it will pick you up. So let's get this ball rolling. Let's get this ball shaking. You know what I'm saying? And boop, it's a deep kick, as always. Deep kick. Again, why is it a deep kick? Because we talk about nothing but deepness in women's football, and also it's a coaching strategy. Kick the ball as deep as you can to make that team drive as far as they can. And you put your defense out there and you stop them. You know? And that's what we rely on, defense. You know what I'm saying? Defense. But, yeah, tonight is a special night again. I'm talking to you guys live. You can always call in if you feel you want to talk about the subject or want to add to, you know, one of the questions or whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm always open. 347-826-7278. Again, 347-826-7278. And let's go ahead and start this off with quarter number one. Quarter number one is... What topic am I going to give this thing, label it? You know, to be or not to be? Nah, that wouldn't be a good question. That wouldn't be a good topic. But the fact is, I had a bunch of owners who have emailed me on my interpretation of the no contest or no playing situation once you play for one league and some other things. And I think it's on the Ning board. I brought it up on the Ning board. Regarding a couple of teams who feel that they want to move on but have a couple of things dangling over their head and want to know what my interpretation of that contract is, you know. And I'm a strong believer that if I created it and I'm shaking it and I'm making it, then nobody else is going to control it, you know what I'm saying? So what are you talking about, Coach Lee? What are you talking about? Well, in the past, over the last 10, 15, I got to say the last 12 years, women's football has been not reinventing itself, but just using each other or using the teams and playing against each other. You know, I'm going to start a team because I don't like my coach, or I'm going to start a team because the owners suck, or I'm going to start a new team because the league is terrible, or I'm going to jump leagues because I don't like the person in this league and they run it and I don't like them. You know, yeah, I understand that. You know, everybody has the right to want to do, and that's where that's been my stand. You know, I just use myself as an example. When I created the Las Vegas Showgirls, I had a choice to pick between three leagues at the time, the IWFL, the WPFL and the NWFA. And, you know, doing the research and all the other good things, I felt that the WPFL had the best options. And when I say options, I mean the best capabilities of being here for a long time, the best ball, meaning that it had the better teams in the league that at least played against each other that I knew of. And we had the freedom to go out and play others if we chose to and add more games to our schedule if we chose to, unlike the other two leagues at that point in time. What wind up happening was, you know, we were in that league and it went well. But you know, again, things fell apart due to the fact of the old evil dollar, that money thing. You have people trying to tell people what they can and can't do, and people didn't like that. So people tried to sue and try to do this. So all the money that was made and raised was left off in the what's called. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, ma'am.
Boy, hold on 1 second. I am here busy trying to get this stuff done. And my beautiful staff. Yes. Now I can't even spell. Yeah. Now you offer Safari, too. Hold on, I'll be there in 1 second. Trying to take care of some work. Give me 1 second, I'll be back on the line. 2 minutes, I'll be on. Alright folks, I am back. I am so sorry. But this is why I try to do pre-records, because I never know when I'm gonna be needed, especially when I'm running things here. So back to you guys. Again, I was talking about some of the topics that are going on the Ning board. And like I said, one of the hot things, we're talking about contracts and stuff like that and obligations. And you know what? My thing is this. If you do sign a contract, you need to obey by the contract. I'm not against contracts. It's just that if you're only signing year to year, then once your season has expired, then you are a free agent to do what you please. And I understand that some people that don't believe that you should be able to do that, but legally, a contract is, if it's from year to year, then once the season's over, you fulfill your obligation to the league. no matter what league it is. In the past, I think on one of my shows, I had talked about in order to stop teams from jumping leagues, they need to sign for more than 1 year at that time and not sign year 2 year. And I think that was one of my topics that I talked about. And, you know, that would stop teams from jumping. And I think that's what was some of the clutter and the problems with people were talking about, you know, teams jumping from league to league. I understand that. That's not good for women's football at all. So, again, I think I talked about putting together, you know, a 2-year, 3-year contract, something real small, nothing hellacious and retarded, you know, 5, 10, 20-year contract to be with a league. I think, you know, 2 years, I think a 3-year deal is suitable. And what that 2 or 3-year deal should consist of is saying, hey, you are in our league, you know, one way or the other. And, you know, we can't kick you out within the 3 years, and you can't leave within the 3 years. You know, but there's no contract that is basically set to be even on both sides. So you might have leagues that say, you know, we have the option to renew your contract each and every year, where the teams will be sitting there waiting at bay on if they're getting accepted or not. You know, we want to legitimize this, then we need to be able to, again, sit down and be realistic and say, hey, you know what, let's find a 2-year, 3-year max deal that we're going to play in the league. Okay, and that's legit. But in the past, it's been year to year, and every league that I've been a part of have been a year to year contract. But then they try to have a no compete clause in it, and that's the big question right now, is the no compete clause in the contract. And like I said, I haven't seen no contract. I haven't seen what has been updated or whatever. I can just go by what I have and what took place with me. You know, because everybody asks me, how are you able to walk away and there's no money that you owe back to any league? And you left two leagues. First of all, in the WPFL, I had paid for 2 years in advance. I left money on the table personally. So what can the WPFL do to me when I've already paid for 2 years in advance to play in the league? And I didn't go back and sue them. Why are you going to go back and sue somebody who ain't got nothing? That's just a waste of money to try to sue somebody who ain't got nothing. So I just walked away from it. With the IWFL, we didn't get renewed because we were doing independent situations that the league didn't like, and they didn't renew it, so we walked away. You know, if they don't want to bring us back, then we're free to go where we want to go. You know, in WFA, we're there, and we're obligated for 1 year. If we choose to go elsewhere, we could. We're not, so let's stop the rumors there already. You know, we're not going to go anywhere else. But I'm just saying, well, we have that option. But we also have options to play other teams if we choose to, be it independent or teams from other leagues if we want to. And my whole argument has been, if I'm an owner of a team who have the resources to bring in more teams to play, to bring in more fans, bring in more awareness on the football, then I should have that choice to do that. And again, that's something that I've always said. I should have freedom of choice as long as it's not interfering with the league and league play. And when I say with the league, meaning, again, from the moment of April to the end of the season, which would be, say, end of July, then I'm obligated to play the games that my league has put forth in front of me, and that's my obligation to them. I'm not obligated to them if I choose to want to play a team from Germany or a team from Canada or a team from Missouri, especially when it's my dime, my money if I'm going, or my dime, my money if I'm inviting them to me. If anything, it's only helping out the league that I'm affiliated with, because that means there's more attention being brought upon the team and the league, you know. So, again, that's always been my argument. You know, if the league was paying me, if this was, quote, the NFL, and NFL, and I'm profit sharing and revenue sharing, then that's something different. But when I'm putting my money to play in your league and I fulfill my obligation, then I should be able to practice when I want to. I should be able to play whomever I want to after the season or before the season and, you know, promote my team, because that's what I'm here to do as an owner of my team. You know, I'm promoting the league because I'm playing. You know, if the league was putting in money and putting out a commercial in my neighborhood or in my market and giving it, and I'm just going to give it to AAA league, you know, just to throw it out there. If the AAA league was you know, profit sharing and doing TV revenue and all those other good things, then they can have a little bit more control of what's going on. You know, I think the biggest argument came about with Kathleen Masters, you know, how she ruled her league with a strong hand. Well, in a sense, I can agree with her, because she put her time, her money, and her effort into expanding teams to where in areas that were not already existing. You know, with the assumption that she's going to get somebody that's going to wind up being the owner of the team, and started the tryouts. She did the marketing. She did the newspaper ads. She did everything. She even named the teams and copyrighted teams. That's how she was able to control those teams, because they were her teams. But when you're talking about somebody starting a team from scratch and you're not putting up a dime in it, then how much control could you really have outside of the 8-game obligation that's what the contract states, or the 10-game obligation that the contract states, or however many games your league creates, or whatever rules. You know, there's a bunch of attorneys out there that have looked at the different contracts, and like I said, every contract is a loophole. Trust me, every contract that is written has a loophole, a way out for both parties. You know, it can be the difference of you told us that we're going to play 8 games and we only scheduled 7. Well, guess what? You didn't do your obligation as a league. We only played 7 games, so that's an option to get out. You know. The same thing if a team forfeits. The league can say, you know, we don't want you back because you forfeited. You know, you didn't fulfill your obligation. And I think the sticky issue is, you know, teams leaving in the middle of the season. I think that's BS. You know, those are teams that I wouldn't even want to play anymore. If they had financial issues, you know, 2 games into the season, why wouldn't they have financial issues later on? I mean, and they knew those financial issues 6 months prior to that first game. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I blame the teams for that. You know ahead of time if you got the budget and the money to run your operation, and you know if you got the players or not. A lot of people inflate numbers around here, you know, about how many people they got for tryouts and how much money they got in the bank and all that other good stuff. But it only hurts the teams and the teams that they play. Again, I tell everybody this across the nation, don't matter what league you're in, we're all in the same game. We're all promoting the same thing, which is football. And your product is just as good as my product. If my product stinks, then the assumption is your product stinks. If I was on TV and we were sorry and we played against another sorry team and it just happened to be on TV because we have the ability to be on TV, then across the board, women's American football is weak, because that's going to be the perception that everybody sees. So there's no, again, I always tell you guys this, there's no one league better than the other, on the surface. There's no one team that is simply better than other teams. It's just they got better athletes, they got better coaches. But you have the same opportunity they have to go out and recruit the players to put into your system to make you a good team. You know, some of us charge, some of us don't. With that, you can have different players play, because if you don't have to pay to play, you can get the best athletes, because the reason why you can't get them, because they work. You know, the more it costs to play on your team, the less skilled players you're going to get. That's the assumption. You're only going to get those who are capable to afford to be in on your team. But going back to the whole situation, it came about because a couple of teams had jumped ship from one league to another, and then there was a big announcement that those teams have been released from the league that they joined due to complications. And like I said, you know, this is America. Anybody and everybody can sue for anything. You can sue because you stepped on bubblegum, you know. You know, you can put bubblegum on your shoe and you trip, and somebody can sue you, you know, for that. If you own a grocery store or liquor store and somebody slipped, you can get sued. You know, you own a car dealership and, you know, your tire go flat, somebody can sue. This is sue America, basically. America sues you, whatever. So it's just a matter of putting your money where your mouth is, you know. Again, if I feel strong about a situation and I know I'm right, I'm going to keep continuing to go no matter what is put in front of me, because I know I'm doing the right thing. You know, some people are arguing the fact that it's hurting women's football to try to put a no-compete clause in the contract. Because now, if everybody knows, once a team takes 1 year off, it is so hard for them to get up and going again, unless they have a financially strapped owner who know how to get it back together. And I could throw out SoCal Scorpions. I didn't think the SoCal Scorpions were going to come back. Not that they came back as strong as they've been, but trust me, that year and a half off has destroyed them. You can look at the Houston Energy taking, 2 years off. What wind up happening? Two more teams grew out of that, out of the Houston area. So here you are, have a team that's won three WPFL championships and been in three other championship games. They come back and they have not been able to put it together. It's just so hard. Once you shut down shop, it's so hard to get back at the level that you were at. So to put a no-compete clause in a contract is is more devastating to the football team than anything. To take away the identity of the team is hurting women's football because, again, it's not about creating new teams and new names in the same areas. It's about being stable and keeping that name that's been there and that existed so people will say, oh, yeah, I remember you guys. You know, so that's part of the argument. But, the other side is easy. Okay, well, forget it. We've only been around for 2 years. And we the Las Vegas Tumbleweeds, and we were known as Tumbleweeds, but you know what? Really nobody knows us. Nobody really knows that women play football. You know, nobody, you know. And so, again, what leg do any league have to stand on to stand, creating damages for leaving? There isn't any. There is no damage. As long as you fulfilled your season, once the season's over, there is no damages. Now, if you leave in the middle of the season to join another league and go play a game, then, yes, there is damages because now you got four games that you left hanging that might have been four, say, away home games for those teams, and they actually spent, $3,000 and lost $3,000. You know, that's the damages. That's the real damages. So you have to pay four teams $3,000, and the court's going to call it even. You know, that's what they're going to do. They might say, well, what is your potential make at home outside of what you lost as far as, your rental fees and stuff like that. But a team can say, yeah, we average 400 people a game. Here's gate receipts from the past at $10 a head. So there's another $4,000. So legitimately, a team that leaves in the middle of the season, if they get sued and go to court, can legitimately lose about $7,000 per game that they didn't have obligation. Now, if they were hosting home games and the other team had to travel, what did the other team lose outside of maybe a deposit on the bus or plane tickets or whatever? That's the damages, and that's what people got to understand. What are the true damages that are associated with me leaving this league, that league, or whatever? If you do it in the middle of the season, yes, there's going to be some damages. You leave at the end of the season, what damages are you creating outside of the territory? You know, and that's another thing that everybody talks about, territory. I own this territory. You don't own crap. You know, I think the mileage or ownership in these leagues are ridiculous. You know, minimum 100-mile radius from another team before you can set up another shop. That's stupid and dumb, you know. And in some cases, you know, even 50 miles is outrageous. The bottom line is, we have to get teams that are closer together to create rivals. I mean, look at the college scene. Who's the rival of the other college? It's usually an interstate rivalry, cross-town rivalry. We don't have that in women's football. There's nowhere across the board, is it? Because we're all talking about, I own this region. You know, let's use L.A., for example. Even though there's five teams in L.A., there can be six, seven more teams. There's 13 million people that live in the greater Los Angeles area. You trying to tell me you can't find 200 women that want to play football out of 13 million? Well, if the league's helped out and promoted the league like it's supposed to, then it would. Hold on one second. Tell her I got to get it approved. Yeah, I got to get it approved. So that's why she filled out the application. I get it approved. Leave it here, and then I'll give her a call, and she can come back and make the payment. All righty. All right, I'm back. So, again, I believe that there should be more than one team in a lot of towns. You know, if you in Bushwickville, Tennessee, and if the population is only, you know, 1,500, then yes, it should be only one team. But if you're in an area that have over 100,000 people that live in your town, there could be, there should be two teams. Okay, I'm amazed that there are 17 minor league football teams here in Las Vegas alone. There's 2 million people. Yeah, it's a large group of males who play football, but what I'm trying to get at is 17 men teams in this town. This town is only 15-mile radius. If you get in the middle of town and go 15 miles in any direction, you are out of Las Vegas. You're in the desert, you know. So we need to create rivalries. We need to stop getting on the road and traveling 600, 800 miles to play a game when there's only 200 people there at the game, and, you know, it's costing us anywhere between a cheap ride. Even if we rent cars, I mean, not rent cars, but rent vans, that's going to cost me $300 a van. I'm taking three vans. That's, what, $900? Then you're talking about gas, at least $150 each one way. So that's, what, $450, and then $450 back. So you're still looking at anywhere between $3,000, and I didn't even talk about hotel stay yet. You know, we're not generating enough money or revenue to be able to sustain these women's football teams when we got to travel across the country to play each other. So you got to regionalize it. So, again, as an owner of a team, I am looking at what's going to make the best dollar for me. One, travel. I got to cut down on travel. It don't matter what league. Like I said, it doesn't matter. The teams that we play are who we play. Be it good, bad, or sorry. You know what? I believe that I'm the best team anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to win all my games no matter who I play. That's the attitude that we have, and that's the attitude that everybody should have. That's the only way we're going to get bigger and better. But, again, you have to be able to realize that as an owner. Can I afford to travel? You know, a lot of people come in this game and think, oh, it's all beautiful and it's going to be gravy, and then realize that you need about $30,000 just to complete the season. And that's just travel. It takes about $30,000 just for travel. I know I had a show earlier about, you know, what it takes to run a team. But the way that the leagues are set up right now, there's too much space in between. It's a lot easier on the East Coast because the cities are a lot closer. But as you get west of Texas, as you get to Texas all the way west, the next town is miles and miles and miles away. You know, there should easily be 10 to 15 teams in the Texas region. Easily 10 to 15. Oh, hold on. Got emergency going on. I think I might have to get off. All right, what didn't happen? You know what? I got to end the show. I'm sorry about that, but I got to end the show. I got a fire alarm. Got a fire alarm going off. BJ, I will get back on the show later and talk to you. All right, later.
as the rhymes keep fitting. Respect's been given, how's your living? Now I can't protect, I paid off defects. Check the record and record, inattentional wreck. Raid off as the intellect. Made the call, took the fall, broke the laws. Not my fault that they're falling off. Known as fair square throughout my years. So I growl at the